Dogs seem to know everything about their owners, from their schedules to their scents to exactly what annoys us, or is that just you? I don't know. So shouldn't humans know everything about their dogs? Well, Embark's dog DNA test allows you to do just that. Getting to know your dog's breed mix and genetic health risks with Embark means strengthening your bond with your furry friend. And Embark founded the world's first canine relative finder. I have actually found distant cousins of Geo's. Anyway, we'll get there. They even offer you the ability to connect directly with other Embark dog owners in their database. We'd like to thank EmbarkVet.com for supporting And That's Why We Drink. And you can go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 on the breed and health test with promo code DRINK. So Geo is quite a situation. All right, I got the Embark test done, and he is American Pit Bull Terrier. He is Shih Tzu. He's Australian Cattle Dog, Dachshund Chow Chow, German Shepherd, and Labrador Retriever. He is, as by the way, Embark put it, which made me so happy, he is a super mutt. Isn't that nice? I was thrilled because I had done a test on him ages ago, but it was like pretty simple and like kind of just not very, very in-depth. This Embark test was amazing. It told us that he was part Dachshund, which made a lot of sense because he's kind of like hot dog shaped. Get the dog DNA test that is trusted by millions. Right now, Embark has a limited time offer on their breed and health test for our listeners. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 with promo code DRINK. Visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DRINK to save $50 today. We all love to treat ourselves every now and then, right? Like go out and buy a nice coffee, maybe get a little extra legroom on the plane. Then why are we always settling for doctors? Your health is the most important thing. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know how I feel about making phone calls, and that is why I discovered ZocDoc many years ago before I even had a podcast. And so I'm thrilled. This feels very full circle. I use ZocDoc all the time in LA. I still use them here in Cincinnati. It's just such a cool service to be able to put in your insurance and find a doctor for whatever your ailment might be. I actually found an ENT doctor once when I had this sinus infection, probably TMI. But anyway, I love ZocDoc. I've loved it for years. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's how easy it is. Sometimes they even have same day appointments. I know I've gotten some in the past. Go to ZocDoc.com/drink and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/drink. ZocDoc.com/drink.
Burped.
Good.
Yay. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. It's been a long week, but I'm great. How are you?
It's been a long week, but I'm great.
Yay.
I still somehow have a cold. This is the 18th day.
We're working on it. Not that anyone's counting, no.
Nope, just no. Not even me at all anymore. I've just blacked out. When I look at a calendar, I'm like, okay, it's still sick. Got it.
It's like that thing where the days are, you know, that old school like effect where the calendar days are flying.
Yes. I, in the midst of my cold, I also got the flu.
Right. That was fun.
Or at least that's what we're assuming it was. It was like a weird 24-hour flu.
Yeah.
And I had I don't even know what you would call it, but some weird episode.
An episode is a good word.
We were in Florida and I had one night where I don't even know how to describe it, but it was basically every single flu-like symptom cranked up to like a 10 out of 10, all happening within 1 hour of each other. But I like couldn't see and I was like staggering to the bathroom and I got sick in many ways. It was
like every possible way.
In every possible way, and I had night terrors and cold sweats, but I was also having hot flashes.
You were missing your grandparents.
It was horrible.
Jesus.
It was horrible. So anyway, I can at least say that the worst is behind me.
Knock on wood.
Seriously.
That was a rough patch for you.
And now I have this interesting cough that just won't quit.
It makes live shows super fun.
We did three live shows and the cough was the center stage.
At least we made a drinking game out of it.
True.
Just drink when I'm coughs.
Yeah, everyone was pretty drunk by the end.
Yeah. We have had a good time. We were in Florida. We're going to the Midwest next week. So
yay.
That'll be fun. I gotta see my mom.
I'm gonna see my buddy.
Which buddy?
Cole.
Oh, nice. I didn't know if it was someone like specific that I knew about.
No. It's one of my friends lives in Chicago, so.
Yeah, I'm going to see some friends too. It'll be fun. What was I going to say? Oh, I have a couple, before I forget, a couple corrections about my last story.
Oh.
And I know this was like 2 weeks ago now because we did a live episode. But before I forget, there was a line when I did Ira Einhorn, like the unicorn killer.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like years ago. But there was a line where I said, he was not excused. What does that mean? Yes, I got many messages saying, you meant to write executed.
Oh.
Because I was like, he was not excused because it was illegal. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. It was executed. Thank you, everybody.
I like how I blindly followed you, though. I was like, okay.
No, I specifically said, please explain this to me, M. And you were like, I don't get it either. So,
well.
I mean, it was my notes that
I
were
followed
wrong.
You into the dark. That was.
You helped me
blind leading the blind.
I mean, it was my stupid note taking. But and then there was one more thing. Apparently, it's not pronounced Hootsdale. It's pronounced Housedale. So,
oh,
sorry, y'all. And then finally, I have a new obsession.
Oh, what?
It is hard kombucha.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
I'm not surprised. It seems like something you'd be into.
Well, one of our listeners, Jesus, sent me some of this stuff.
Okay.
It was so nice.
It's a really cool looking bottle.
It's kind of funny because I had just, Allie and I had just become obsessed with the concept of hard kombucha. And then we got this email and I was like, oh my gosh. It's so exciting. So it's called Wild Tonic. Anyway, it's really good. So that's what I'm drinking today.
I can't understand kombucha. It just tastes like vinegar.
No, it smells like vinegar. It doesn't taste like vinegar.
I don't believe you.
Well, this stuff is good, guys. And it has 5.6% alcohol, so get ready.
Ayo!
It is a good, fun time. And you can feel like you're, you know, doing something healthy, I think, too, also, maybe.
Sure, yeah. It's a cleanse of sorts.
But thank you, Jesus, for that. That was very nice.
It does look like a really fun bottle.
It is. It's very attractive looking.
I love a good dark blue glass.
It's beautiful, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
I have no obsessions.
Mm.
No new ones.
No new ones?
No new ones.
All the same?
Although, no. I was going
to... Nice try.
I was going to say I have an obsession currently with Brie Larson, but... That's something you already knew about.
I do know that.
While I was in Florida, I developed a hearty crush on her.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably.
Hardy is an episode.
And now every time Allison does something I don't like, I go, well, Brie wouldn't do that.
Brie would never do that to me.
Brie wouldn't dare do that to me.
Brie is really just a stunner, though.
Ugh, she can do no wrong.
So is Allison, by the way.
Agree to disagree. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to be in love all over again. It's fun.
Oh, you're in the honeymoon phase.
I am.
Cool.
And I think after the honeymoon phase too, I'm still going to think that she can do no wrong, which is fun.
Well, that's always good. You won't ever leave, really.
No, not even a little bit. And I get to see her in a whole new movie in like less than a month.
Oh, right. So keep the spice.
Keep it alive.
Keep things interesting.
Honeymoon phase for sure. Yeah.
Oh, good.
So we both got things we love.
I'm so happy for you.
How's Lemon, speaking of things we love?
Oh, that was actually what I was going to talk about. Thank you for noticing.
I had a hunch.
You saw my eyes.
They were wandering.
You were talking about Brie Larson. I was like, yep.
It's like, I know all about that kind of love.
My true love.
Right.
We're still in the honeymoon phase. It's been really good. No arguments yet.
Oh, good.
A couple jokey kind of arguments.
But, like, you're poking fun at each other?
Yeah, kind of like teasing. But we can both take a joke, so it's all good.
Oh, good.
When we were in Florida, I got a shocking number of Team Lemon merchandise, including lemons. So thank you to everyone who brought me a literal lemon. And there was one person who was like, this group of women, and they were like, well, we went to brunch, and the server came over and said, look, this lemon has a mohawk. And they were like, well, we need it.
Right,
right. And they just took it.
And so we now have it. Now we have
a lemon.
So
now it is our lemon with a mohawk.
A lot of people have Team Lemon shirts now, mm-hmm, which I'm mm-hmm. discovering.
Someone took Stacy, who brought her daughter Grace. They both wore Team Lemon sweatshirts, like mm-hmm. those really cool ones. She just like takes it off and gave it to Eva and was like, give this to Christine.
Yep.
So cute.
So if you were wondering if we have lemon on a shirt yet, fear not.
Fear not. Well, M got their Funko M shirt. Finally.
I got a Funko M shirt.
Woo-hoo!
It's so nice.
It is really freaking cute.
We got a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Florida treated us well.
Yes, thank you, Florida.
Oh, I also have a new 1990s, maybe 1980s shark water bottle.
Oh, right.
We went to this...
The citrus
market
world.
Or something. We went to some weird highway store in Florida.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure nothing in there has been updated since the 80s.
Definitely not.
And we were like buying t-shirts and like the tags were just disintegrating in our hands.
Yeah.
But so I got a water bottle that looked like a shark and definitely doesn't look like it's from this era.
No.
Definitely looks like it's as old as me, if not older.
For sure. It's very cute.
Anyway, I'm rambling. I just had a good time in Florida.
The minus shark cup was great.
The flu.
Minus that little tiny episode you had.
Florida. Okay.
So Florida!
The age of Florida.
So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. In fact, I actually shout this at any friends I have who are engaged because it saved my life when I was planning my wedding. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. I tell my friends Zola is a one-stop shop, right? This is the key to planning a wedding. I didn't even have a wedding planner. I used Zola and they were so helpful on every front. Everything from save the dates to a wedding website to online RSVPs to finding vendors. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. You've probably heard about Burrow. It's a new kind of furniture company known for timeless design, durable materials, and details that make life in your space easier. Last year, they brought their expertise outside with the launch of their outdoor line, and now they're adding more must-have pieces to the collection. Dunes offers seating, dining, and lounger options, while Scout is a new folding chair upholstered in a chic woven fabric. Made of durable materials made for all seasons, weather-resistant teak, stainless alloy, quick-dry, stain-resistant cushions, love that, with easy assembly and disassembly. They also just launched a new standing desk co-pilot with adjustable height, a durable scratch-resistant body with built-in storage to make working at home easier than ever. And of course, there's Burrow's legacy seating collections like the Nomad and Range, now available in new colors. So no matter what you choose, you always get free shipping on every order, which can run up to $100 for larger items, and that is a win. You know M&I. I love our Burrow, and now that they have outdoor furniture, I'm very excited to get my lounge on. We have this balcony, and I am always looking for something to make it comfy, but also look chic, you know, because it's outside, everyone can see it. And I want to look stylish while I'm bird watching. I love Burrow. It's easy to assemble. It ships free. I can't recommend them highly enough. And that's why We Drink listeners can get 15% off their first order at burrow.com/drink. That's Burrow, burrow.com/drink for 15% off. burrow.com/drink.
So I'm trying to find my story.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
I thought we were having a fun ramble, but I guess...
it came with a purpose.
Got it.
Okay, no, we're back in the game.
Fantastic. Okay. Definitely back in the game. I hear it
almost. So this is a story, the end. No,
about a girl named
Lucky. I don't know
what. So I was thinking Brady Bunch.
Oh, a lovely lady
of a girl named Lucky. It's like Britney Spears mashup.
That's what I thought was happening. Lucky Brady. So we're not on it.
We actually googled because we were both in a weird headspace this week, and It's been a long week for both of us. And we googled, so Emma was like, well, maybe Mercury's in retrograde, honestly. And I googled it, and there's a website that just says either yes or no. It's called isthismercuryretrograde.com or something.
Right.
And it was like, yes, that probably explains the weirdness.
It gave a firm yes with a period at the end.
Yes, a big, large,
and I was like, well, that'll
Helvetica
do it.
Font, yes. So.
And I definitely feel it. I'm not myself.
We are really in a weird headspace this week.
I can't wait to get back into the clear of it all.
Finally, let's hope. Milwaukee, we're coming for you. You better fix this.
Change it up, Milwaukee. So this is a classic ghost story this time around.
Oh, yay! We haven't done that in a while, huh?
I know. I'm starting to feel guilty that people come here for a paranormal story and they have not gotten a ghost in a while. So
we got some other wild shit, so don't worry.
So, and then I was like, if I could be anywhere in the world, where would it be? Obviously Canada. So this is a Canadian ghost story.
Great.
And it's a short one, but I liked that most of it is just references to things that people have experienced.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Not very history heavy.
Awesome.
So this is the story of the Fort Garry Hotel.
Okay.
In Manitoba.
Manitoba.
Love
Manitoba.
A good Manitoba.
Yay.
So this was built in 1913 by the Grand Trunk Pacific Railway as a hotel for train passengers that were coming into the area.
Fancy.
and it was named after Upper Fort Garry, which was nearby. Fun fact. When they built the hotel, it had 12 stories and it had 340 rooms, and each one had a private bathroom, which at the time was unheard of.
Oh, okay.
So that is also fun. It had a ballroom, a music room, a concert hall, a bakery, a well, a press.
A well. Wow.
Wow.
Wait, so it had its own private bathrooms, but then like a well?
Apparently.
Oh, okay, well, sure.
Well, I was more interested.
Sure.
I really kind of blacked out once I saw that it had its own bakery. I was like, whatever else you want to add, go for it.
Somehow I missed that. That's the most important part.
Ballroom, music room, concert hall, bakery. Well, press. And apparently it was designed to be a city in itself, basically.
Oh, like a self-sufficient type thing?
Like an Epcot, if you will.
Like Canadian Epcot.
Canadian Epcot with ghosts.
Except with no...
running water.
I was going to say something about international Disney theme, but yeah, no running water sums up the most important part.
It was also supposed to be, at the time that it was built, so in 1913, it was the tallest building in Winnipeg.
Oh.
Fun fact.
Fun fact.
And that's all the history.
Sweet.
So.
And that was fun history.
It was funjucation.
That's what I always
say.
That's
what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is it. So let's talk about the ghosts after I cough.
After that short message.
After that instance. So.
Episode.
Hey. So people see figures standing at the ends of their beds. That's nice.
That's a good start.
They in their rooms, they'll either see a male or female ghost in period ball garb. People have reported hearing crying, moaning, and conversations between people that aren't there. Mm. They've also heard muffling and whispering. And then when you look in the direction of the sound, the sound will go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll shut up.
Yikes.
There are also, in empty rooms, there are sounds that cannot be explained, including furniture dragging, growling, glasses clinking, and knocks on the wall in response to you.
Growling.
Yeah.
Is that, like, a demonic thing? I guess.
In my mind.
Yeah, I would think so. Unless it's a ghost dog.
See, growling doesn't scare me as much as, like, glasses clinking, because I feel like because it's so innocent, it makes it creepier.
Oh.
Like, if it's growling, it's, like, expected to, like, you don't, like, you know what to expect.
Yeah, but I feel like glass clinking, I could at least talk my way into, like, oh, don't worry, it's just the wind or something.
See, I would talk my way into being like, oh, it's a party ghost, but, or it's like.
I know what you would talk your way into.
Or, like, it's about to make a toast about how it wants to kill us. I don't know.
What would you say about the growling then? Like, you would just be like, oh, it's a demon, it's fine.
Yeah, I would just be quick to just justify it as a demon. That doesn't make it better.
But that would scare you less than the clinking?
I would have to question less. I'd be like, oh, that's definitely a demon. I at least know that I should be afraid.
I think I get where you're coming from.
With the glasses clinking, I'm like, should I be scared or not? So there's like there's another layer of thinking to it.
Oh, okay.
But with the growling, it's like, oh, 1,000% I should be scared and we can move on from here.
So anyway, we've made our decision. Let's move on.
We can run faster. We can get out of here faster.
I got you. It's more ominous if it's like kind of an unknown sound.
Right.
I got you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find something to clink on so you can scare you.
Stop with your hard kombucha. Ah, what could that be? Should I be afraid?
You should run far fucking away from my house.
That's what it sounds like if Christine all of a sudden has empty glasses. There's nothing left to hold her down.
There's going to be ghosts clinking anywhere. It's going to be in this house. So
right.
Watch out.
People also hear footsteps on the floor in their room at night. People hear knocking from inside the closet. People hear wet footsteps in the bathroom walking into the bedroom.
Foul.
Yeah. Foul. Wet with the no running water.
Ew. It was pee on it?
They went diving in the well and then climbed right back out.
They stepped in the pee toilet.
Right. People hear cabinets and drawers opening and closing themselves in the middle of the night. There was one story that I read about someone staying in one of the more haunted rooms and the closet door kept popping open by itself. And then she'd go close it and then the door would pop open again. And then sometimes she would close it and then it would pop open again, this time with the lights on.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, that's
an added.
Also ominous.
Added no.
People often hear the hangers in the closet moving on their own.
Fuck.
When the door is closed and nothing is in there. Mm.
Ew, you're right. Like those noises that are like everyday noises.
When you have to think about it.
So creepy. Like someone's moving clothes around.
Especially because sometimes there aren't even hangers in the closet. Oh, you just hear it.
No, that's terrible.
The closet lights also turn themselves on and off. The closet and bathroom doors will open and close themselves multiple times a night. Right. And also, apparently, the bathroom shower curtains will move themselves open and closed.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Extra creepy. Because you can just hear, like, the chain, like, the metal chain dragging.
Oh, shit. When I was little, I had to shower with the shower curtain open because I was convinced, like, an alien or somebody was going to be in the bathroom. Or Batman.
I believe that.
Or murderer. I was either Batman, an alien, or murderer. Those are my three big fears.
Remember when we saw Deirdre in Maryland? She was telling us about her weird bathroom story.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that super creepy?
What was it again?
She.
Otherwise, people are going to be like, well, you can't just say it and then not tell it.
In the old haunted house that she was in where she found a body decomposition stain under her bed.
Super good.
In her bathroom, she was shaving her legs. And while she was in the shower, the razor fell and she heard it fall. And so she went to bend down to pick it up and it wasn't anywhere. So she couldn't find it. And then she opened the shower curtain to get out of the shower later. And it was sitting on her toilet.
Fucking
the razor
gross.
Was sitting on the toilet.
Like just like on the top of.
Like it knew that she was looking for it and left it somewhere where she definitely couldn't have put it.
Vomitous.
Vomitous. So the closet and bathroom doors will open and close themselves. The shower curtain will close and open itself. People feel their arms getting squeezed and their necks getting grabbed by an icy hand.
Oh, no.
You can also feel someone standing behind you or hovering over you at night. This is a quote from someone that had an experience there. Yesterday, I was working a 5 a.m. shift when I walked into the staff washroom and I instantly felt chills. When I turned around the corner, there was a skirt laying on the floor and suddenly a small access panel about a foot and a half high from the floor opened. All day from then on, I felt a weight. I felt a weight on my back as if I had been giving someone a piggyback ride. I felt this weight all day until my shift was over. I went back to the washroom and said, "You can get off of me now." And at that second, she left and I felt much lighter. I've never given much thought to ghost feelings, but I couldn't shake how real this felt.
Oh my God. Your ride is over.
Right. You can get off me now.
And it worked.
So apparently ghosts are also getting piggyback rides from you.
Well, that makes it a lot more appealing to be a ghost.
Yeah. But it's also super creepy in that like you can literally feel a whole human body on your back and you can't shake it.
The pressure of...
Imagine having to go upstairs.
Yeah, you'd think, like, being a ghost, you wouldn't have your physical weight anymore, but
exactly.
I guess not.
Also, like, you would think you get to, like, float around now. Like, you don't even...
Yeah,
it's not like you're even tired from standing.
Damn, I don't know.
You're just being a dick.
Yeah, I think, honestly, it probably boils down to they're just being a dick.
I think so.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m., apparently, something likes to bother you when you're trying to sleep.
Great.
People will hear laughter and whispers, and they will feel being stared at.
My favorite thing.
My favorite thing to happen at 3 a.m. when I'm sleeping. Apparently the owner used to live here with her husband and she has given multiple reports of seeing her husband coming into bed at night. But then she rolls over to talk to him and nobody's there.
Ah, ew. That's fucked up.
I don't like that.
That doppelganger shit freaks me out so much.
I hate the doppelganger stuff because you are literally looking at that person and they're not
there. It's like the most vulnerable way to get to somebody.
Oh yeah.
Because they would never think twice about.
They truly just trust you entirely.
Oh, it's so creepy.
People also find random items around the hotel. So security guards have gone into locked rooms where nobody could have been and found candles in the shapes of stars.
What?
Like lied out in the shape of a star
on the ground. Oh, like I thought you meant I was like Bath and Body Works?
Wow.
I thought you meant
Party City. Okay.
Yeah. Like a Claire's glitter candle or something.
Right, right.
I get it. So they were like laid out.
Yeah,
like
but the room was locked off, so nobody could have been there.
Absolutely not.
At least they said star. I kind of thought that it was going to be like pentagram.
Pentagram or something. Maybe maybe the security guard didn't know what a pentagram looked like.
Maybe it was a pentagram.
And he's like, a pretty star.
Yeah, a really elaborate star. Apparently, you can also take pictures that have captured orbs and odd shapes on film, including one picture of two boys and both of their faces were warped by a weird mist.
Oh, gross.
And it apparently is... impossible to replicate, and there's even a $500 reward to someone who can disprove the picture.
Really?
And no one's been able to.
Wow. That's
but apparently the faces look twisted and warped and super creepy.
Ew.
Firm pass.
No.
Apparently the most haunted room is room 202, and the main story that goes with 202 is that between the 1890s and the 1960s, so somewhere in that 70-year gap, a woman hanged herself in the closet of room 202 after her lover was killed by a trolley car outside.
Oh, God.
So apparently there have been investigators who, paranormal investigators who have gone into the hotel and have actually figured out more of the story through hearing voices on a digital recorder and also doing like flashlight and EMF tests, like just yes or no questions and getting results. So what the investigators have found out is that it happened somewhere in the 1940s, so narrowed it down. And the couple was married, and they were both in their 20s. Apparently it was a forbidden love, and the man's name was Michael, and the woman's name was Kate. And Michael's father did not approve of him marrying Kate.
Aww.
So the father may have tried to pay off Kate to leave the relationship, but she refused to. And even though they think that Kate was hanged in the room, apparently what these spirits have said in interviews is that Kate was murdered and never given a proper burial.
Oh, God.
And one of the mediums that visited actually thinks that Michael's father, who didn't approve of the relationship, is the one that killed her.
Oh, shit.
And so they think either she was killed in that room and Michael never found out, or she haunts room 202 because that was the last place she was happy before she was killed.
Which is just even so much more, like, fucked up and sad.
Oh, yeah. Entirely.
God damn it.
So, that's all alleged, but if mediums and paranormal investigators got an accurate story, that's what they've been able to figure out. So, wow. So room 202 is the most haunted room in the hotel, and apparently staff do not like going in there alone, and they will sometimes use the buddy system when they have to clean.
That's when you know, like, if the people who work there are like, I don't go in there alone.
It's like, I'm okay.
Especially, like, when you have to bring an employee who I'm sure you're not, like, fond of being around.
Or also, apparently in one interview or in one article I saw, someone got room service. And just to bring room service up, he refused to go in the room. He, like, made her grab the food out in the hallway.
Can you imagine?
He's like,
Bring my tip out here, please.
Right. It's like, I demand money. Thank you.
Oh, my God. I thought you meant they were rooms. There was, they brought someone else with them to, like, carry the tray.
Aww.
Like, buddy like, system.
You can do it. You get that side of the table.
I think I'd be so startled if I, like, opened the door and there were, like, two people with, like, my tray of, like, what did we only ordered room service, like, once. What did we get? It was in New York.
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese and, like, chocolate mousse or something.
Right. Can you imagine, like, you got, like, just a fruit cup and they're like, oh, we've got all three of us here to give you the fruit cup.
It's like a group of them.
Right.
But we won't come inside. We have to
not even a little bit. You have to come out here and sign off on all of
and
us.
And please tip all three of us. Thank you. Oh, my God.
So, also, people have experienced a very well-felt presence is always in room 202. Something stares at you and lets you know that you're never alone. And people have reported seeing blood drip down the walls.
Ugh. What?
Apparently.
Yuck.
So, blood will drip down the walls and in the furniture sometimes. And people have also said that they see a woman in all white and lace in a ballroom gown walking through the room.
Mm-mm.
So that could have been Kate, or it could have been another woman, because hotel records show that a Lady McMillan was in a white laced gown and stayed in the room in 1913 for the grand opening.
Oh.
So they don't know who this woman is. It could be Lady McMillan, or it could be the alleged Kate.
Oh, my. Okay.
Whoever she is, the woman seems to be sad and crying and looking for somebody. People have seen her pacing by the foot of the bed, and people have seen her standing by the closet, opening the door and looking inside. A few people have also reported seeing a cloaked figure hover over the foot of the bed, which is different than
Fuck
Kate.
Fuck off. A cloaked figure. No, thank you.
One of the reports say that a guest was sleeping there when her boyfriend woke her up screaming. Because, and she didn't know what he was looking at, but she looked too, and they both saw a hooded black figure standing by their bed with blood dripping out of the hooded face.
Yeah, they both saw it? Yeah. No, thank you.
And then it disappeared.
If Blaze ever woke me up fucking screaming.
I know, I'd be like, this is it.
Goodbye.
Be like, there's no coming back.
I'm just going to go back to sleep since we're doomed.
Yeah, let me just close my eyes and peacefully die.
Yeah, fuck.
But can you imagine like something like bleeding out of the hood of its cape, his cloak.
Absolutely not. This is called sleep paralysis in my brain, but if they both saw it, that's not okay.
No, not even a little bit. And then apparently it just disappeared, and then they were expected to go back to sleep.
Good.
Which is the worst part.
They're expected to go back
It's
to
like,
sleep.
You don't know if I come back or not. That's half the fun.
Isn't this great?
Isn't this fun for all of us? People have claimed to see a hooded figure and apparitions of people in period clothing roaming the halls in the early mornings and late night. They seem to not know that you're there, so they don't acknowledge you. It's more like a residual haunting, I guess.
Right, right.
Although guests have said that something is tugged on their clothing and they hear intelligent knocking in the elevator when they're by themselves.
Oh, God. Ew.
It's like if you say, oh, are you there? You'll hear a knock next to you on the walls in the elevator.
Oh, no, thank you.
I don't know what an MP is, but Canadian Liberal MP Brenda Chamberlain. I don't know who that is.
Prime Minister, but backwards. Minister of Prime.
Minister Prime.
I don't know.
She apparently stayed in room 202 back in the year 2000, and she said that she felt an invisible presence getting into bed next to her.
Oh, my.
And she was quoted saying, it was like somebody was settling into position next to me, like my husband, only lighter. I actually felt the bed move.
Ugh.
Ugh. Terrible.
Ugh.
When you can feel the entire furniture you're
absolutely
on shifting.
Absolutely not. No.
Firm pass.
No.
Firm pass.
Mm-mm.
People have also heard somebody singing in the Palm Lounge, but nobody is ever there when you go check. And allegedly, that is a performer in the lounge who actually was shot and killed there.
Holy fuck.
People have also said that they get a migraine when they walk into that room, and the spirit may or may not have been shot in the head.
Mm.
So they think that's where the instant migraine comes from. There is also the apparition of someone who appears in the Broadway room, who eats by themselves, paces the room, and stands in the corner watching you.
That was me in middle school.
Oh, good.
Just
so it's actually just Christine in the Broadway room. There's also an apparition of a man wearing a kilt.
Oh,
in the ballroom.
Well, that's you, obviously.
Who likes to cause mischief. So,
well,
yeah, I don't think you're
wrong. We're
both
there.
Yeah,
it's
just
fine.
Hanging out.
It's
you're
fine.
Eating by yourself.
You just won't eat with me. So.
I'm just wearing a kilt and bothering everyone.
That sounds pretty accurate.
So
I'm just staring at everyone from the corner.
I was absolutely that asshole in high school, by the way, who would just wear something ridiculous for the sake of the attention.
So,
yeah, I'd wear a kilt. I'd still do it.
We had this horrible thing called swap day where our uniforms would be swapped. And so the boys would wear.
It
was terrible looking back. And I'm like, Jesus. But then the worst was when a mom. Listen, whatever. I'm not even going to go there.
No, I want to hear.
So a mom of one of the guys apparently ruined the day because she's like, I don't want my son to be a cross dresser at school and all
that
shit.
Oh, my God.
And so they canceled. What's it called? Oh my God, it was switch day or something.
I'm sure it's something
how
wonderfully heteronormative.
Is all of this, yeah.
All bad.
And so there's pictures of me just in a boy's polo shirt with pants that I stole from my brother.
By the way, that's all exactly what I wore to school every day.
The guy I had a crush on wore the skirt and the thing. And then after that, I remember he just started kind of doing that regularly. And I think, for a long time, he just, I don't know, I haven't talked to him in years, but. I'm not even going to say who this is. I hope nobody's listening, but...
I hope someone discovered a little more of their identity.
I honestly think that's what happened.
Oh, that's
then
so
from
nice.
Then he would sometimes wear skirts, and he got a lot of shit for it at private Catholic school, but yeah.
I bet he's on top nowadays.
Probably.
Good for him.
Should do some Facebook stalking.
I'm glad he found his truth.
Anyway, looking back, I'm icky. So bad.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what else do we expect in Ohio 10 years ago?
Private Catholic school, Ohio. Yeah, not good.
So in the 1930s, one chef was apparently murdered by another employee.
Uh-oh.
And since then, the kitchen is said to rearrange the pots and pans at night. And you can also hear the dishes and silverware rattling on the counters and racks. And the sink faucets will turn on and off by themselves.
Mm-mm.
So the kitchen is just downright haunted.
Isn't that a thing that happens a lot with the pots and pans moving? Didn't you guys even have that?
Yeah, experience? And I remember experiencing that. We were staying in a hotel where I thought there was a party happening, or we must have been right next to the kitchen and they were having a really busy night. And apparently the kitchen was closed. We were the only people on that floor. And apparently the pots and pans just moved themselves
around.
They're
that's normal. I've heard that a lot about kitchens in hotels and...
It's weird.
They just move all this shit around because it's in the wrong place.
Yeah. Ugh. In their mind. They're stop redecorating. We how it looks.
Frying pan. Casserole dish does not go under the sink.
How many times do I have to tell you that the muffin pan goes here, not there?
That sounds like just living with your partner. So
that sounds like me and Allison. Yeah, 1,000%. Why the fuck are they over here?
Why would you reach all the way?
Why would you put the coffee mugs there? I'm so confused.
All right, we're getting too close to home here.
Allison's going to yell at me.
Don't even go there about the coffee mugs.
And what's she going to do? Text me right now? Oh, yeah. By the way, Allison's phone got stolen.
Oh, I didn't even get it.
That's where I was like, what are you going to do? Text me?
Allison's iPhone 2 got stolen.
Right. Yeah. By the way, Allison has the oldest phone on earth.
I'm pretty convinced Em stole it, threw it in a dumpster and said, oh, no, your phone got stolen. Get a new one.
I'm pretty convinced Allison stole her own phone and said, oh, no, it's gone. I don't know what happened.
Entirely possible.
And then just put it in airplane mode and toss into the river.
Entirely possible.
So anyway, that's what I get to do this
Let's
weekend.
Keep shitting on Allison.
God damn it, Allison. So there is a ghost expert on site, apparently. That is not me, so I'm offended.
Yeah, I'm surprised, actually.
Her name is Kristen.
Oh, it's me.
Oh. And she has been known to do interviews with the spirits, and she usually gives the medium, like, if mediums come to the hotel, she'll give them tours, things like that.
Cool.
So she uses an EMF detector, she uses dowsing rods, and she also uses an app on her phone called the Ghost App. Apparently. Ghost Radar.
I have Ghost Radar!
Yeah.
Do you? Is that the one you use?
Yeah.
I love Ghost Radar. It's so
cool. I love Ghost Radar,
too. It scares
the
shit out of me when I'm home alone.
It always tells me blood.
It does say blood a lot.
It always says
which
blood.
Which makes me think maybe it's a little bit
I think it's probably skewed. I think it's probably it not super accurate. But I'm always like, oh my God, blood. Are you covered in blood?
That night in...
Right. That's my first
your
thought.
Name is blood and you're covered right. in blood?
And your favorite food to eat is blood? Wow.
And you died by blood?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was when we were in San Jose and I found lemon. You were busy in your room.
On the Ghost Radar app. And guess what it said? Blood.
I brought a lemon inside and it was like, blood, blood, blood.
Can you imagine if it said lemon? I would have lost my fucking mind.
Oh, man.
That's how we should have known.
We should try it in this room and see if it says Robert.
Oh, probably.
Robert did it.
Or just says lemon did it. So some of the words that it read were January, Chef, Venus, Snake, Jeff, Maria, Autumn, and Pen. So none of those really made a lot of sense. I didn't get any context for those. But apparently that was the list of things that it said.
Oh.
In this article, when someone was talking to Kristen and they decided to do an
got
interview.
It.
So those were the words that got said. So when they took the dowsing rods out, the spirit box or the Ghost Radar app said, rod, air, converse.
Ooh!
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty good.
But then it said nothing else for the rest of the night. But Kristen, using this app is how she was able to talk to maybe Kate and Michael and figure out how they died. And then mediums have been able to confirm that that's how they passed away.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And Kate in room 202, apparently she's talked to Kristen and said that if you're in room 202, I only bother you if I don't like you.
Oh, I wonder how they decide that.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if it's like just your face or like.
Yeah, like a first impression.
Like, wow, you're fugly. Time to mess with you all night.
You're fugly. Oh, God.
Or like maybe they just sense that you have a bad personality, like how animals like can sense your attitude.
Your vibe or your aura or something. Mm. Yeah. That's a good point. Maybe it is just like you give off a negative.
Yeah, maybe ghosts can sense it.
Oh.
Or maybe if you're a believer or not.
That's my next thought. Blaze would be screwed.
I know. Especially if it were me, because I would absolutely mess with the ones who don't believe in ghosts.
Oh,
first.
For sure. Blaze is screwed whenever you die. So
right. Oh, yes.
I mean, everyone is, but mostly Blaze.
Kristen is also the one who offers the $500 reward for people to disprove the picture of the...
Got it.
Boys' misty warped faces.
Creepy.
So this doesn't have anything to do with it, but I wanted to end on this because I thought it was kind of a cool fun fact. So just like how she's willing to pay a reward for photography, like for a picture that suggests that this can be disproven or
right.
So apparently spirit photography began in Winnipeg, which is where this hotel
oh,
is.
Shit.
Or it at least has a really long history in the area.
Okay.
So one of the first famous spirit photographers, his name was Thomas Hamilton, and he organized a lot of seances in the area and paranormal events in the early 1900s. And he actually built some of the very first research in, quote, ghosts, psychokinesis, and ectoplasm.
Okay.
And he took a lot of photos during these events, although a lot of them have now been debunked because... He had a lot of pictures of ectoplasm for someone who couldn't actually prove ectoplasm or make it show up whenever he wanted.
I think there was like a lore episode about him.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, apparently all the pictures ended up being debunked of the ectoplasm specifically. It was like painted newspaper on people's noses and stuff.
Oh.
Like he like...
He would literally physically
like literally paper mache'd ectoplasm onto your face.
That's the funnest school project ever.
But it was the first time that someone had a well-documented case of spirit photography.
Got it.
So he was one of the first people to actually have his own collection of spirit photos.
Got it.
So it's just interesting that that happened in this area.
Yeah.
Where there happens to actually be one picture...
That can't
at
be
this
explained.
Hotel that can't be explained.
That is weird, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that had nothing to do with him, right? The photo. This was like way later.
It was just like a fun fact about spirit photography.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, so that's the Fort Garry Hotel.
Spooky.
Spooky ooky.
Spooky ooky. There's always those brides that die.
It's always a bride that dies.
By
it's always,
hanging.
It's always a bride that either is rejected at the altar.
Right.
Or she thinks that her husband died, but then the husband never died.
That's
fucking terrible. It's always one of those two.
The worst.
If thinking about salsa in a variety of delicious flavors and heat levels makes your mouth water, you need to check out Green Mountain Gringo. And make sure to turn the jar around and take a look at its clean backside, a list of its all-natural ingredients. Of course, that's what I meant, of course. And all their products are preservative-free, too. With the medium salsa, you get hearty chunks of tomatoes, tomatillos, peppers, and onions in every scoop. I'm reading the ad and my mouth is watering. Anyway, the hot salsa brings flavorful heat to every meal with each bite containing jalapenos, serrano peppers, and other savory herbs. Plus, they've got a hot sauce with a tangy, spicy flavor that enhances the simplest of meals. It's perfect for avocado egg toast or tacos. I sort of feel like they're reading my mind because I put salsa on almost everything, but specifically, I use their salsa. I use usually the medium salsa and then also the hot sauce on my avocado egg toast. And I don't know how the script knew that. Maybe everybody eats this, but I always make toast with avocado and then I put scrambled eggs on top and I put salsa. I can't eat it without salsa. And the Green Mountain Gringo is always there for me in the fridge because it really adds to, I mean, any meal if you're me, but definitely the eggs avocado toast situation. Visit greenmountaingringo.com and start shopping. Use the store locator to find Green Mountain Gringo products, get inspiration for recipes, and purchase products using promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off. That's promo code PODCAST24. And don't forget to check out their backside.
When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like when you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/drink. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
That's okay. A precarious place.
You're right.
Are you trying to also get your laptop stolen and broken?
Right. I'm living dangerously today.
Okay. So this is a story. So I'm kind of keeping with the Florida theme here. This is a story that I like bookmarked as I was doing Florida research. And then I wanted to come back to it because it is bananas.
Oh, bananas.
Oh, we have a banana pillow.
Yes.
This is the story of Judy Buenoano, a.k.a. Florida's Black Widow.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. I got a lot of this information from crimemuseum.org and clarkprosecutor.org.
Oh, and both orgs, which makes me believe in them.
Very official.
Yeah.
You know.
I got all mine from bohemianblog.com.
.net.
.net.
.angelfire.net.
Right, right, right.
Okay, so Judy, she was born as Judias Welty.
Okay.
Not quite as sexy of a name. On April 4th, 1943, in Quanah, Texas, her mother died when she was 4 years old, and when her father remarried, she and her brother lived with him and his new wife.
Gotcha.
She later claimed that her father and stepmother were abusive and starved her, forcing her to work as their slave, and she had several stepbrothers that she said were also extremely abusive. So at age 14, she actually attacked her father's stepmom and 2 stepbrothers by throwing hot grease on them.
Oh, shit.
And she was sent to prison for 2 months.
Right, fair.
And when she got out, she kind of like disconnected from her family. And at age 17, she gave birth to her first son named Michael. In 1962, she married Air Force Sergeant. I just wrote Air Force.
Good. So you're just
now making up a title.
Oh my God. Air Force man.
Air Force person.
Someone in the Air Force named.
I'm pretty sure he was a sergeant, but I don't want to.
I heard the hesitation.
Blame.org.
Okay.
Yeah. So Air Force.
Someone.
Member James Goodyear. They lived in Orlando, so they moved to Orlando, where they raised their son and daughter. So the two of them had a son and daughter, and then James adopted Michael, so
gotcha.
Judy's first son. So there are the three kids. Around this time, Judy opened her own daycare center called the Conway Acres Child Care Center in Orlando, and put her husband as the co-owner.
Got it.
Although her husband was not really around because he was in the Air Force.
Doing something in the Air Force.
He was doing that really important thing.
He was either leading or being led in the Air Force.
Yeah, exactly. Following orders from someone, yes. I think, is what he was doing. Right. So James is sent to Vietnam at this point. And he returns in 1971. And a few months after his return to Orlando, he starts to suffer from mysterious symptoms, including vomiting and extreme stomach pain.
Uh-oh.
Not a good sign. He was admitted to the hospital, but medical professionals could not figure out what was causing his illness, and he unfortunately passed away in September of 1971. Mm. So he was only home from Vietnam for a number of months before he passed away. Yeah, very sudden. 5 days after James's death, Judy collected from his life insurance policies.
Well, okay.
Shocker. And a few months later, Judy's house catches on fire and burns down.
Oh, uh-oh.
So she collected an additional $90,000 in insurance policy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. In insurance money. Then Judy moved with her children to Pensacola in 72 and met a new man named Bobby Joe. So he moved to Colorado in 1977, and she decided to take the kids and move with him to Colorado. So the five of them are there, living in Colorado, and suddenly Bobby Joe starts to suffer from mysterious symptoms and is admitted to the hospital. He was released a few days later, but within 2 days of being home, he collapsed on the dinner table and was rushed back to the hospital, where he died on January 28th. Only a week or two later, Judy cashed three of Bobby Joe's life insurance policies.
Oh, okay.
A couple years later, Judy's son Michael himself joined the U.S. Army, and
what ranking was he?
He was a soldier.
He was a good guy.
He was an American.
Okay, good. He was a patriot in the Army. Yeah. Got it.
It's like that episode of the we always do this, but the episode of The Office where Michael. Like, Oscar's so upset because Michael's trying, like, pretending to be smarter than him or whatever.
Yeah,
and they
have
that debate. And then at the end, Michael's losing, so he just starts going, USA.
Right. Everyone's like, the freedom of friendship.
Yeah, he just goes, this is America. And then everyone starts cheering. Yep. Anyway. Right. He's an American in the U.S. Army. He's stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia. But on the way to Georgia, he stops to visit Judy, his own mother, at her home in Florida. So after her husband died, the family had moved back to Florida. So Michael, who's I think like 18 at this point, going to Fort Benning, he stops to visit his family in Florida. But shortly after arriving at Fort Benning, after his visit with his mother, he began to show symptoms of poisoning.
Oh boy.
And doctors found 7 times the normal level of arsenic in his blood.
That'll do it.
Well, there it is.
If it wasn't before, it did it just did it this time.
After 6 weeks of care, the muscles of his arms and lower legs had atrophied to the point where Michael could neither walk nor use his hands.
Oh, shit.
He finally left the hospital wearing braces and a prosthetic device on one arm.
Oh.
And the gear that he had attached to him weighed a total of 60 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. He was discharged from the army because he couldn't serve anymore.
Right.
And returned to his mother's home in Florida to be under her care.
Great.
Super good.
This sounds... like Munchausen by proxy.
Oh, yeah. It starts to sound like that, and then it
takes a left turn.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
It does, because it's like, oh, come back to mom, and I'll take care of you.
Right.
It totally does.
What's the girl's name? Jeannie? The last?
Gypsy Rose.
Gypsy Rose. Yeah.
The act is out. Alexander says it's really good.
Oh,
Alexander
cool.
And Allie are watching it. I haven't seen it yet, but it's supposed to be good. So he comes home to mom. And when he gets there, extremely sick, unable to walk, Judy says, why don't we go on a fishing trip?
Okay.
And so she takes Michael and his younger brother James on a canoe trip on Florida's East River. At some point, the boat tips over. And some fishermen find James and Judy clinging to the shore. Judy explains that her son, Michael, who wore heavy leg braces, had sunk to the bottom.
Oh, no.
And was unable to swim.
It sounds like she wanted that to happen.
It sounds like, yeah, fishy, for lack of a better pun.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so they did indeed go looking, and he had drowned at the bottom of the lake because he could not swim or move his... Yeah, I couldn't move his limbs, which is just so fucked up.
Yes.
And the metal weighed 60 pounds, so it weighed him down to the bottom. The younger son, James, said he didn't remember what happened because he had been knocked unconscious somehow during the struggle.
Oh.
So, as I said, Michael had drowned. After the accident, Judy collected on Michael's military life insurance.
Whew, well.
Which was $20,000. And also, she collected on two other civilian policies that she had apparently taken out on Michael before his death. And it was suggested later by handwriting experts that Michael's signature on the civilian policies had been forged.
Wow. I am not surprised right. by this.
Exactly. Shocker, shocker. So it seems like it could have gone Munchausen by proxy if she had kept the ruse going, but she just was like, done.
Got it.
After Michael's death, Judy, quote, moves on the best she can, and decides to open her own beauty parlor.
Okay.
The beauty parlor is called Fingers and Faces.
What? Fingers and Faces. Okay.
And it's much like your clown college Fingers and
Faces. Oh, my God.
Loves and laughs.
Fingers and Faces with a Z at the end.
Oh, exactly. Faces. Yeah, Z. So Fingers in Faces.
So stupid.
The worst name?
The worst.
Ever?
In Fredericksburg, we have a hair salon called Curl Up and Die. I always thought that was fun.
Wait, that's good, though. That's so good.
That's the opposite of Fingers in Faces.
Curl Up and Die?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Oh, Die, D-Y-E.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. I didn't even get the second part.
Yep.
That's, they deserve.
Catch you there at Curl Up and Die.
They deserve a medal for sure.
Right.
That is good. Okay, so yeah, Fingers and Faces. Just
LOL.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard. Okay. She also started dating a businessman from Florida named John Gentry. She decided to create, like, a false past to, like, kind of lure him in. And so she lied. She said she had PhDs in both biochemistry and psychology. She said she had recently worked as the head of nursing at West Florida Hospital. This was all bullshit.
Was she- it?
Telling you as if you don't.
Things.
She had also changed her last name, this is also very weird, to Bueno Año, which means, it's Spanish for good year, which is the last name of her first dead husband.
Weird.
Yeah. So it's just creepy. She changed her name and her kid's name to Bueno Año. Bueno Año or Bueno Año, I'm not sure. Which is Spanish for good year. So like a literal translation of her first husband's.
That's creepy.
Yeah, very weird. So she... He thought that was, like, her name and that was her past. Obviously, it was made up, but Gentry seemed to believe it. He indulged in Judy's taste for expensive gifts, including imported champagne and tropical vacations.
So, Linda. Got it.
So, Linda. I think they said cruises, too, so I was like, yeah, there goes Linda.
There goes. Linda Bueno Año.
Linda Goodyear. Bueno Año. They got engaged in October of 1982, and... No, I'm sorry. They got engaged. And in October of 1982, Judy convinced John to take out life insurance policies on one another. That's romantic.
Yeah.
Just in case, you know. You never know. So they did. And once he had signed off on the $50,000 policy, Judy, without his knowledge, upped the coverage from $50,000 to $500,000.
Okay.
Not a good sign. Judy also convinced John that he was in need of some special vitamins.
Great.
She said...
Called arsenic.
Yeah, she's like, you look like you could use my special pills.
You have a deficiency of some sort.
Deficiency of poison. So she started feeding him these vitamins, and she said she was the head of nursing, right? So she's like...
Right, so she knows what she's doing.
Quote, yeah, exactly. So he starts feeling nauseated. He is frequently vomiting, stomach pain, ends up in the hospital. While there, he refuses to take the vitamins.
Good.
And he even admits, so he starts to feel better, and then he's kind of like admits, this is weird, like, I think maybe these vitamins have something to do with why I'm sick. So he's a little suspicious.
Right.
But then Judy's like, no, no, I would never.
Shh.
You be quiet.
Right, right, right.
Like shoving
take
the vitamins in the mouth. Just close your eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so she's denying everything, and he kind of is like, okay, we'll see, and is a little suspicious. But he is discharged, and on June 25th, 1983, John left a dinner party to go pick up some champagne because Judy had just told him she was carrying his child.
Oh, that's so good.
Cause for celebration. On the way to the liquor store, however, John's car exploded.
Okay.
This is like a bad movie script.
It's like the Godfather 3.
Yeah. The Godfather 14, when people stopped, right, like, actually doing a good job on it.
Take your vitamins and your car will explode.
But, much like something that probably would happen in The Godfather, John survived.
What?
The explosion. Yeah.
And can you imagine his wife being like, God damn it. Like, right? How are you still alive?
He's the vitamins didn't work. The dynamite didn't work.
Right, right, right. Vitamin and Dytamin. Oh, dynamite.
And White Flag by Dido. Okay.
Yep.
John, right, survived. The trauma surgeons were able to save his life. And because he was still alive, police were able to obviously interview him and ask if he suspected anyone of wanting to hurt him.
Was he like, my wife, my wife, my wife, my wife?
He was like, well, there was this vitamin incident.
God.
This dynamite. What did you call it? Dynamite?
Vitamin and dynamite. I thought they rhymed in my head.
I went with it. I believed it. So he's like, there's this weird vitamin thing. And so police are like, we'll look into it. Then they realize how his insurance policy had like skyrocketed,
right,
from 50 to 500,000 right before his death. Or not death, like
almost death.
Right. And they decided they were going to do a little background check on Judy. So the background check obviously revealed that Dr. Bueno Años, as she liked to call herself,
right,
was not who she said she was. Obviously, we know that she made up her education and her work history and her name. However, when John Gentry discovered that the pregnancy was also a lie, he was just horrified. And he learned that Judy had actually been surgically sterilized in 75. So she couldn't have even, she couldn't even talk her way out of it. Because, like,
oh my.
There's no way. Like, she blatantly lied about that.
Wow.
So, they also learned that Judy had been telling her friends about her husband's terminal illness since November of 82. So before he ever even got sick, as if she was like planning this in advance, like he had this illness with the vitamins and
got it.
And she had also recently bought tickets for a world cruise without John.
But with Linda.
But with Linda.
Don't worry. She's not going to miss that.
Linda would be there with bells on, man.
Right, right.
So after learning all this, John is like, what the actual fuck? By the way, here are those vitamins she was feeding me.
Right.
So they test the vitamins, the capsules. Analysis revealed that they contained paraformaldehyde, which is
a
poison with no known medical use, but which happens to be used in nail salons.
Okay.
Fingers.
Curl up and die, man. Curl up and die. That's what she wants. That's what she wants them to do anyway.
That's like, yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be way more ominous if that were her name.
She should have really renamed it.
Fingers and faces is just like creepy in its own way. I don't even know. On July 27th, federal agents searched Judy's home in Gulf Breeze, retrieving wire and tape from her bedroom that matched the car bomb.
Ooh.
So I'm going to explain the bomb. It was in the trunk of the car. It was 6 sticks of dynamite.
Okay.
That were wired to the brake pedal.
Mm.
So like turning the car on didn't explode it, but the first time he hit the brakes.
Got it.
To like even slow down, the trunk of the car exploded, which is just so, it's not even like, oh, it's just so much creepier that it was like the second you hit the brake,
it seems very creepily intentional.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay, so Judy was arrested at the beauty salon on charge, fingers and faces, let's give it its official name,
sure,
on charges of attempted murder. By mid-August, authorities had traced the purchase of the dynamite used in the bomb to Judy via her phone records. She made bail on the attempted murder charge, but on January 11th, I wrote 184.
Great.
1984, I guess.
I guess so.
That's the only possible answer. She was indicted for first-degree murder and the death of her son, Michael, with an additional count of grand theft for the whole insurance scam thing.
Mm-hmm.
Both Bobby Joe Morris and James Goodyear, so her two husbands, were exhumed, and both found extremely high arsenic levels their remains. So they were like, yeah, you did both of these.
Gotcha.
So on June 6, 1984, Judy was sentenced to life in prison without parole for the first 25 years for the death of Bobby Joe Morris. So that was the first husband. No, I'm sorry, the second husband. Yeah. And then in the case of her son, Michael, the trial started October 15th and lasted 3 days. Jurors deliberated only 2 hours before voting to convict her and adding 12 years to her life sentence.
Okay.
And then a year later, on October 22nd, 1985, Judy went to trial for the murder of her first husband, James Goodyear. And that trial lasted a week. And although Judy claimed innocence the whole time, jurors convicted her once again of first-degree murder, and she was formally sentenced to death.
Okay. So, did she give a reason why she was doing this?
No. In fact, the whole time she said she didn't do it.
It's so weird.
Yeah, she like claimed till her death that she...
I feel like it's one thing to kill like... or try to kill three of your husbands.
Right.
But like to kill your son.
Right. That's like its own.
That's gotta sociopathy. You gotta have a reason. Yeah. All right. Anyway, I was just curious.
I mean, money.
Sure.
Life insurance, but that's because she had taken out.
Apparently, he was only worth $20,000.
But then she had taken out those two other ones and like forged his signature.
Right.
Which is like, I guess that's its own. Ugh. Anyway.
Yikes.
Yikes and a half. So I also want to add that in addition to being convicted of multiple counts of grand theft and multiple acts of arson as a means to gain insurance money, Judy was also suspected of several other deaths, including a 1974 murder in Alabama, where I'm pretty sure the guy's throat was slit. Like, it was an extremely violent murder.
But not the same MO, though, so.
Right, yeah, not the same MO, but...
they still think it was pretty, her?
Yeah, and there was some sidebar online about, like, oh, he was shot and then, like, throat was slit and... apparently, like, one of the husbands knew about it. It's like a whole side story, and since she wasn't convicted, I didn't like fully research it, but
got it.
Yeah, she's suspected of that murder as well, and then also in the 1980 death of her boyfriend Gerald Dossett, but she was also not convicted of that.
Wow.
Although they did exhume his body, but it's unclear what came of that.
Weird.
Yeah, it's just like, but he died very young too, so it's kind of like chances are. So her involvement in these deaths were never proved, and by the time she was suspected, she was already on death row, so it was kind of like, it just wasn't solved.
It's like, well, you're gonna die.
She's there one way or another.
Right.
So Judy's motive, although she never gave her own motive, was believed to be greed. She reportedly collected $240,000 in insurance money, although, like I said, she never admitted to any of the crimes.
Which isn't even a lot. Like,
I know.
Not that, like... oh, there's definitely like an exact number that where it begins to be worth it.
Right, totally.
But it's like
to kill that many people
for that much money, you're just kind of like, really?
You're not doing a great job at this whole insurance scam thing.
Yeah.
Because I mean, with the last guy, she upped it to $500,000, but that didn't even.
Yeah,
she didn't even work.
It's very weird.
Very weird. Judy spent the 13 years before her execution writing letters and crocheting blankets and baby clothes. And also taught Bible study to other inmates.
Of course she did.
She's very Christian.
Of course she did.
Very Christian woman.
Right.
Judy was executed in 1998 at the age of 54. So there's an excerpt from a website called Fight the Death Penalty USA. It's kind of like this old school like blog thing, but it gives a description of her final hours. So I'm going to kind of read this to you.
Yeah.
At 4:30 a.m., she was showered and dressed, probably by female corrections, and her head shaved to give good electrical conductivity. And so that her hair did not catch fire during the electrocution.
Ooh, okay.
Judy's last meal consisted of broccoli. Okay, just get ready. This is the world's worst last meal.
I'm ready.
Broccoli, asparagus, strawberries, and hot tea.
Wait, that sounds great.
That's it for your last meal?
Okay, well, that's true. But no those way. Do happen to be many of my favorite foods.
I mean, I love asparagus, love strawberries, but not... I mean, no, I can eat that you're any
right.
day.
You're right,
I
you're
mean,
right.
maybe not in prison, sure, but...
yikes.
Like, man, get a pizza.
Right, you're right. Get, like, at least some sugar in there.
I know you want strawberries, but chocolate covered, right? These aren't even chocolate.
Yes.
These are just plain.
Maybe do, like a little cheese melted over the asparagus.
Exactly.
I see where you are.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of lame for, like, and a hot tea. Like, I mean, I guess not even, like, a sweet tea or, like, a...
mixed with booze.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's just kind of like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
Rub it in. Once strapped into the electric chair and asked if she had any final words, her response was, "No, sir," before she shut her eyes and the leather mask was placed over her head.
Ew.
I'm telling you, this stuff is fucking barbaric.
Yikes.
She was pronounced dead at 7:13 a.m. She became the first woman executed in Florida since 1848 and the third woman executed in the United States since the reinstatement of the death penalty in 76.
Oh, wow.
And that is the story of our lovely lady. Of a lovely lady.
Oh, okay, it made a full circle.
Of a terrible lady. But I do have one last thing instead of a horoscope this week. So I explained what Florida Man was while we were on tour, right?
Yes, and now that you've brought it up, by the way, I can't unsee it. It's everywhere. It's
everywhere.
It's everywhere.
So if you guys don't know, basically Florida Man is this like meme where people have started to replace like the name of a person in a dumb crime headline with Florida Man. So like, for example, Florida man wielding live alligator raids liquor store or whatever.
Right.
So, this tweet went viral this week. And someone named Swerve and Merv on Twitter posted it, but originally it was by Gandalf Soda on Tumblr.
Okay.
And it basically says, everybody Google Florida man followed by your birthday and tell me what you get. Minus Florida man tries to attack neighbor with tractor. Huh. So it's actually really wild. If you put Florida man and then like your birthday,
you just get a random
like
a
headline, like different headlines, and you can.
Isn't that wild that Florida Man can exist on every single day?
How crazy! And it's going to keep happening because the headlines are constantly adding. So like, you're never going to get tired of it. So Danielle underscore Brownie with an I on Twitter suggested I start doing a Florida Man maybe for whoever's birthday it is.
Oh, nice!
Instead of a horoscope, and I figure at least since we're in Florida with this story, I'll try it.
Yeah.
So Judy Bueno Año's birthday is April 4th, also my stepmother's birthday. And her Florida man horoscope, floroscope?
Floroscope!
Floroscope!
Wait a minute.
Her floroscope is Florida man, 71, accused of repeatedly exposing himself at fast food eateries.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! And that is the end.
I love a good floroscope.
Floroscope's fun.
Wait, that's way fun. It sounds kind of
like fluoride, like we're at the children's dentist.
Or like Flora something, the thing that she was poisoning people with. Flora.
Da-na-na-na.
Flora.
I think that was called. What was that called? Sounds like Geo sleeping.
It doesn't matter. Formaldehyde, I think, is what it was. And that's
paraformaldehyde.
Damn, it's not flora anything.
Paraflorandal. Nope.
Whatever. I'm sorry. All right. Well, that was a good one.
Wow. That was one that I like had wanted to do and then didn't get to in Florida. So here it is anyway.
You got a kick out of it.
You got to hear it.
Yeah. No, that was a good time for me. Not for any of those men.
Not for anyone else.
But cool, man.
Cool, man.
Cool, Florida man.
Cool, Florida man.
If you want to keep up with us, the Kardashians, the Joneses, the drinkers, whatever you want.
The Jonestowners.
Yeah. Oh.
Yikes.
You can find us pretty much on all social media at ATWWD Podcast. We also have a website, and that's what we drink.com, where you can look at our tour dates. We are coming to you quick, Milwaukee, Detroit, and Chicago. Yay. So please help us. I think they're all sold out.
No, Milwaukee and
Detroit.
Milwaukee's not sold out.
And Detroit isn't?
Oh, Detroit's not either.
So, okay. Milwaukee and Detroit.
They move to a bigger venue. Yeah.
Please buy tickets if you feel like it last minute.
Yay!
Also,
we have merch. Sorry, I'm looking up the link.
Yeah. Yeah.
bit.ly/ATWWDmerch.
Yay!
We have an Olive in the house. Hi, Olive.
Hi, puppy Olive. And we also, we have an email that you can send in your personal true crime and paranormal stories where we read through them and potentially read them at the first of every month during our listeners episode.
Oh, wait, sorry. It's bit.ly and that's why we drink merch.
Got it.
My B. Sorry.
No problem. Our email is andthatswhywedrink@gmail.com if you want to send in your personal stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have an actual address, 1920 Hillhurst Ave, number 265, Los Angeles, 90027.
Yeah. And don't go looking for us because we're not there.
And if you want to send any items to that P.O. box, then we will open them during our monthly gift reveal video.
Someone just tweeted about the fucking Florida man again.
Really?
It's like all over the place.
Oh, here's Olive. Do you have something to say?
Oh, my God. Florida man is trending number one on Twitter right now, Em.
Oh, really?
So you weren't kidding. Like, it is
literally
everywhere.
It really is everywhere right now.
I wish that were my... I think I just happened to jump on the tail of it as it was happening, but I'm all about it, so...
Good.
Anyway, thanks for listening, peeps. We'll be back at you next time.
And
that's
why we drink.
Yay.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Everyone knows the holidays can take a toll on your bank account. If you're looking for creative ways to increase revenue, then get started with Squarespace's new feature, Squarespace Courses. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online course. Start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with the powerful built-in Fluid Engine editor. With Squarespace Courses, you can create engaging content your audience will love, then simply add a paywall and set the price. Plus, you can charge a one-time fee or sell subscriptions. Turn your creativity into income with Squarespace Courses. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/drink to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.